Well, I'd like to make a few remarks before I get into the sermon this morning. I also want to wish Annie a happy birthday. It's a privilege to honor you. It truly is a privilege to honor you. And to her family, thank you so much for including us and inviting us in the celebration last night. It was a wonderful, wonderful party. And then thank you all so much for being here this morning. It's a privilege to have you here as well. You know, there are times in our lives, such as a birthday party, that we all rejoice and we all celebrate. But there are also times in our lives, and I think all of us go through them, where we struggle. We have times that life just doesn't look that good. I'd like to talk about that part of the human condition this morning. When I was a kid, my backyard was Mount Tabor Park, up here on 60th. I lived on 58th and Hawthorne. It took just a couple minutes for me to leave the house and disappear into the woods of that park. It was a great place to play. I played hide-and-seek up there. I explored. I hiked. I confess that in 1969, when they were replumbing the water system up there, I actually took my shoes off and walked in that pipe in bare feet. So if in 1969 your water tastes like bare feet, during the snow and the ice storms of 1979, I actually took my snow skis up to the top of Mount Tabor and I skied down. It's not that easy skiing down ivy slopes. You got to keep your tips up. But that was my backyard. It had been my backyard since I was about 5. I remember when I was about 9, I was just becoming more and more competent riding a bicycle. And I had asked my father whether I could just go and ride my bike for a while, and he said, look, don't go far away from home, and don't be gone long. We're going to go somewhere. And so I thought, well, sure, that's okay. I can disappear into Mount Tabor for a while, ride my bike, and be home and in no time. I remember going up to 60th and then up that wonderful hill up by the tennis courts there, up by the second reservoir, and then up by the crater. Does everybody know where I'm talking about, that wonderful road? And I went speeding around the top. You remember there's that loop up there at the top that used to be open to cars? And of course, as 9-year-old, I was a speed racer on my little bicycle, my Schwinn. And on the way home, I decided, well, I'm going to go a different way. Now, I had never completely explored Mount Tabor, but I thought, you know, this would be a great time. So I started down the other street, heading back the other direction. And I got to right about where Warner Pacific College is on those roads, and I realized I had no clue where I was. I realized within a quarter of a mile now, I would have recognized everything. Everything would have looked familiar. But I got nervous. I remember my father's words echoing in my ears, don't go far, and don't be gone long. So in a panic, I turned my bike around, and I went 3/4 of the way around the mountain back the way I came. And I remember racing home and asking my mother whether I was in trouble. And she asked, as mothers sometimes do, should you be? And of course, I quickly got out of that. I said, well, I guess not. And I asked, well, where is Dad? And Dad had decided to take one of his famous naps on the couch, and I never heard another word of it. But if you stop and you think about this story, of course, it's a little childish, but this is a situation that we all go through. We all look at our situation, we evaluate the facts, we look for the possible outcomes, and we always consider the worst possible option. Don't we? It's just part of human nature. We wind ourselves to the place where we think that we are in so much trouble. That's where we find Paul today as we take a look at our passage of Scripture. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to start reading at verse 13. And we always thank you, God, continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to all men in their efforts to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. But brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or our crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged by you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we prayed most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come. Now if we take a look at our scripture this morning, we find Paul and the Thessalonian church in the midst of a rough situation. To fill in what has happened in our previous sermons, this is the fourth sermon of a series. We know that Paul was only with this Thessalonian church for 3 weeks. The book of Acts tells us that. We know that the people who accepted the gospel are very, very young in the faith. Who knows the level of faith that they have? We do know that their faith was heard throughout the entire region. But Paul has a concern. Are they still living their faith? They are under persecution. They're under persecution by their countrymen. And he describes it as the same type of persecution that killed Jesus, that killed the prophets of the Old Testament, and actually drove the apostles away. They're described, in just straight from Scripture, as people who displease God. They are hostile to all men and women. They tried to hinder the apostles from speaking to the Gentiles about salvation. They are accumulating sin, and God's wrath is coming and is here. These are the type of people that are attacking this little church. The little church is young, not sure about their faith. They are definitely under attack. And Paul feels a need to go and visit them. But he himself says that Satan has prohibited him from coming to visit them on all the attempts that he's made. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the facts. And things don't look good, do they? How many times have we found ourselves in a situation where things just don't look good? We think of, histiocytosis, okay, whatever that charming disease is that poor 3-year-old girl has, that rare blood disease, things don't look good. A 3-year-old with a rare blood disease. Doctors may or may not know how to handle it. Is this a new strain? How about the individual who we prayed for this morning who's possibly going to lose his or her job? That's never a good thing to look at, is it? The loss of a job. We find ourselves in these situations all the time. It could be a problem with a family member, a relationship. How about the effects of a car wreck? Car wrecks are everywhere nowadays, aren't they? You go past some of these auto repair places, and they have monuments to car wrecks, all these cars all mangled up on trailers and wagons, and you just pray that the people are still alive from them. Ladies and gentlemen, hardships are around us. And as we look at them, we can easily say, those are the facts, and things don't look good. That's just part of life. But the one thing that we just got a glimpse of as we shared the passage of Scripture this morning, and as we've shared in the past, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and the others with them are people of prayer. If we take a look at just a few verses that started this epistle in verse 2 of chapter 1, we always thank God for you, mentioning you in our prayers. In verse 3, we continually remember you before our God and Father for your work produced by faith, your labor produced by love, and your endurance produced by hope. It would just be easier to say, we just remember you continually. These people are praying people. In fact, if we take a look now at the end of our passage, we also thank God continually for you. These people are praying people. And that's the one thing that we need to understand, that that's our way out. I had intended on bringing an extension cord this morning, but I thought there might be one up here. If you take a look at an extension cord, you have two ends. One end you plug in an appliance to, and the other you plug into what? The power source. It's the same thing with prayer. You spend a moment where you focus your heart and your mind, and you are God's appliance. You are His handiwork. You are His tool for this moment. And by spending a moment in prayer, you are plugging yourself in to the power source. That's what it's about. When we find ourselves in situations like these, we need to spend some time in prayer. We need to let the Lord loose on these situations. He said He'd take care of us. He'd never leave us or forsake us. Isn't that true? He's not going to leave us alone. There's power there. The crazy thing that I've always thought of is, why is prayer always our last resort? If this is the answer to the way out, the key to the captives, the way that gets you through the jungle, then why is that always the last resort? Why do we have to fail on our own first? Prayer is the answer. But you take a look at Paul now as we continue on with this. And Paul, they are praying people. They took a look at the facts, and the facts don't look good. And he still is not convinced that God will do what God has promised He would do. He was certain that their faith wouldn't stand. And we know that when we take a look at the beginning of chapter 3, it says, they sent Timothy to do two things. He thought for sure their faith would be all over the place. So they sent Timothy to encourage and strengthen their faith. And the second thing was to calm us down. In the midst of our trials and our struggles, don't we panic? We start going all over the place and trying to figure out ways of solving the problems ourselves. We do. We take things into our own hands. And this is exactly what Paul is thinking. Yeah, we spent time in prayer, but maybe this is too much for God to handle. Is anything too much for God to handle? Well, so they sent Timothy off with the worst possible expectations because, you know, they've examined the facts and they don't look good. Have we gotten that part yet? We've examined the facts and they don't look good? I've examined my notes and they don't look good. Timothy comes back after his trip there, fully intending on caring for this group of people, this small church. And he reports to Paul and the others, and he says, they're standing firm in their faith, and they're standing firm in their love. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way we all should be living. We should be living a life of faith, our relationship with God, and we should be living a life of love, reaching out to others. We know that in the end of chapter 1, that their faith was heard throughout all of Macedonia, the entire region where Thessalonica was the capital, and that their faith was heard of everywhere, and that was after 3 weeks. Well, after extreme persecution that they're going through, their faith and their love is still evident. It's still evident. The second thing is, they have pleasant memories of Paul. Paul was concerned. Being there only 3 weeks, it's like setting them up. You know, we're teaching you a new life, a new way to do things. It's like trying to teach somebody Windows in 3 weeks, Microsoft Windows, and saying, we're just going to leave you. It's a tough situation. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the Microsoft Windows crashes. I'm glad Tim's not here today to defend them. And then the other thing is that they long to see the apostles just as much as the apostles long to see them. What we see here is that they believed in the worst possible thing, even though they were praying. And yet God's hand is at work. And he brought this little church through and continued to bring them through. We know their suffering isn't over in the same way that our suffering and our trials are not over today. Our suffering and trials will not be over until we have gone to the other side, until we are with the Lord. One of the things I think we need to realize is that we are not promised an easy life. We can make it as good as we want to, but the one thing that we shouldn't be doing is setting our own traps, believing the worst. When we pray, we should believe that we've received, that God is making a way for us. That's part of faith. You have that opportunity of living your faith out. You can be in bondage all of your life, or you can be free. One of the worst bondages is to be in bondage to your own mind. I just can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm always going to be stuck with this problem. I'm always going to be stuck with bad credit. I'm always going to be stuck with my pacer. Aren't we glad that those are gone? I'm always going to be stuck with my leisure suits, my bell bottoms. Of course, I understand they're coming back. But that's the answer, friends. Living a life of faith and believing that he has taken care of us. Now, it's a human condition that all of us have to go through. This is Paul, one of the apostles, and this is his third missionary journey. He's seen miracles right and left. He's seen the power of God straighten legs and arms. He's seen people being set free from demons. He's seen immediate healings. He's seen blind people see. He's seen the power of God. And yet here, he still believed the worst. So it doesn't matter how long you've been with the Lord, this is still something we can fall prey to. Let me ask you now, just in the midst of your own heart, what are you struggling with this morning? Are you believing the worst? Have you analyzed the facts and they don't look good? Or maybe the next step, have you not exercised prayer? That's the power source. That's the key. That's the way out. Or maybe the third thing, have you not allowed the Lord to work things out? Friends, that's the answer. Let's take a moment and pray. Our Heavenly Father, there's so many things that we struggle with today. Father, we struggle with illness, we struggle with relationships, we struggle with finances, we struggle with work situations, we struggle with situations in our neighborhood. Father, we struggle with, Father, a vision for the future in our lives, for the lives of our families. Father, we have troubles with our children. Father, we have troubles with our parents. Father, we desperately need you. Father, we just pray right now that wherever each one of us are at, Father, that you would meet us at our point of need. Father, we give praise and glory to you because we know right now, as we agree together, Father, that you're working things out on our behalf. Hallelujah, Lord. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.